From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. Today we're exploring the history and delicacy of Southern barbecue. The Atlanta History Center has an exhibit that takes you through barbecue culture in America. And that tradition, like the rest of the country, is increasingly global. We went to get a taste of some Brazilian barbecue. In Portuguese, it is called churrasco.
Good food.
Nelsir Mueller is from Santa Catarina State in southern Brazil, but now calls Georgia home. In fact, he just became a U.S. citizen. He's worked in Brazilian barbecue restaurants, or churrascarias, in Brazil and in the U.S. since the late 1990s, and is now general manager of Chama Gaúcha in Atlanta. We joined him just before the lunch rush at his kitchen in Buckhead.
Wow, so this is where the magic happens.
Yeah, here is where we cook all the meats. As you can see, we use real charcoal. This is called picanha. That's our house specialty. It's a very traditional cut at the south of Brazil. And then we have tabarão sirloin. It's in the U.S. also, they call it flap meat. And of course, we have the wonderful ribeye here. Also for the red meats, as you can see, we are gonna use only rock salt. Just put a little bit of rock salt on it.
So no spices?
No spices on the red meat. We only marinate a little bit lamb and the pork cuts.
So if I were with you in Brazil right now, would this be pretty much the same thing you would be doing there?
That would be exactly the same thing, yeah.
After he salts the skewered meat, Nelsir mounts it on a rack where it begins to slowly turn over a bed of very hot coals.
To start, you're gonna put it very close to the high fire. This is gonna sear the outside, and then it makes keep the juices more inside. Helps protect the meat to be more, a little bit juicier.
The restaurant's doors are about to open, but the kitchen looks nearly empty. Nelsir's demo appears to be the only thing happening.
Now you all are about to start lunch. Is there other meat in other places that is being cooked right now?
No, not right now. We cook everything fresh.
So that is one thing that distinguishes Brazilian barbecue from our slow-cooked meats down south.
Well, it's not gonna cook all the way through because the way we serve, we are gonna slice it thin, slice on the outside, and then we come back, we add a little bit more salt and give it another. Misky charcoal still sparkling a little bit.
As Nelsir prepares the meat, two of his employees lay out another essential part of the Brazilian barbecue, the salad bar. Jesus Mayo and Andres Batista are hammering ice with a mallet.
I mean, the process actually takes maybe like an hour or so, like with me and him.
A lot of the people working at Chama Gaúcha are Brazilian, but these expert ice crushers are from Mexico.
I mean, they speak Portuguese to us, so it's kind of like sticking into it. We're trying to learn Portuguese also.
How's that going?
It's kind of good sometimes. Sometimes with
tudo
the other.
Bem?
Tudo bem?
So how'd you become the ice guy?
Oh. They just actually, when I came to apply, they just like, I think they saw something in me and they just put me right here. And since then, it's like 2 years ago, I've been doing the ice this whole time with Jesus or with Valente. It's hard for most people in the beginning. It was actually hard for me. I took like a whole month just to do it. But I mean, like I'm telling you, like after you get the hang of it, you're just like really, really quick. Just like in any other job, any other process in a job, you're really quick when you get the hang of it.
The salad bar is filled with colorful dishes and so big that I have to take a tour before deciding which to sample.
I think what we have to do is find out what this Brazilian vinaigrette is, because that's like the sauce, yeah?
Yes. At the south of Brazil, we eat a lot of vinaigrette with the meat. This is basically very simple, green pepper, tomatoes, yellow pepper, onions, and vinegar.
I need to ask you about this thing here. Heart of palm. That looks beautiful. Does that really come from a palm tree?
It really comes from a palm tree. Yeah, it's grown mostly at the north of Brazil.
Back in the kitchen, the first cut of meat is ready, and we are ready to taste it.
That's the most traditional cut in Brazil, what we call picanha.
Picanha.
Yeah.
Wow.
The way we skewer it, the fat outside, so it then we sear it on the hot fire, keeps all the juice inside.
It does completely melt in your mouth. And it's interesting because you just put the rock salt on the outside. Obviously, I'm tasting an outside piece, but that, it just tastes beautifully salty, not overdone.
Yeah, rock salt, usually with rock salt, it's not easy to oversalt it versus marinated it with tin salt. Or rock salt, usually the meat almost absorbs only what it really needs.
To us, churrasco is just plain delicious. For Nelser, it transports him to the countryside that he left nearly 20 years ago.
When I smell and taste the meat and the smell and the flavor, it brings me back home to Brazil. I always remember mom and dad when they were cooking and we grew up cooking. I left home when I was about 22 years old to really put in practice what we had learned at home.
We're starting to work up a sweat in the kitchen, so we tuck into one of several private dining rooms to ask Nelser more about the churrasco tradition, which, along with soccer and samba, make up a kind of holy trinity of national pastimes in Brazil.
You know, you said that you grew up in a place where your family would grill meat.
Mm-hmm.
Do many Brazilian families do that?
Down at the south of Brazil, we still have a lot of families that do that. And for example, we still have a small farm where my dad runs it right now, where we raise cow and we slaughter and we cook it with real wood grill, and everything's just done right there.
So a lot of families do that kind of thing?
Yes, still do, yeah.
So what does that mean to your family when you were growing up, right? I know that a lot of family traditions, they just happen. You don't think about
mm-hmm.
them, right? So you just grew up with every weekend you would do this?
Every weekend, and sometimes just a family, sometimes in small communities where they used to gather, like gather a party for the church, for example. Everybody pays a little bit, and then they cook that the barbecue, the churrasco, and then the money all went to the church. Kind of not exactly a donation, but supporting the church, and meanwhile meeting your neighbor and your friends, and so it's just traditionally, yeah.
And it's mostly men do the cooking in this case, yeah?
Mostly men do the cooking of the meats. Usually ladies, mom and sisters, they were in charge of the salads. So they start kind of early, prepare the salad, and then if you don't have a rotisserie grill, sometimes the meat needs a little bit longer, half an hour, 45 minutes to cook. That's the time when people sit around the fire and enjoy chimarrão, which is the green tea we drink at the south of Brazil, or caipirinha. It's mandatory to have a caipirinha before lunch.
And this is just on the weekends you would do this?
Yeah, because during the week everybody works, so Saturday and Sunday. Sundays, almost everybody's off on the farms, and then it's when they used to do that.
So do you remember being a little kid thinking, I'm going to someday grow up and start grilling the meat too?
Yeah, you know, it happens so fast. We grow up so fast and get old too fast. But yeah, when specialists, holidays like Christmas and those were big days always.
Well, so that sounds like a kind of down home, you know, kind of experience. But restaurants like this, Chama de Gaúcha, mm-hmm. Fogo de Chão, they're fancy places. I mean, this is it's a beautiful restaurant. This is some place you would take somebody for a special dinner.
Mm-hmm.
How does that homespun thing translate into a fancy restaurant in the city?
Well, it all happened when I was 22 years old. I moved to São Paulo, things on the farms, agriculture for the Brazil was kind of very tough for small farmers at that time. So we decided to go after new opportunities. And yes, we had to adapt the way we cook and even some of the salads to bring that experience to fine dining restaurants. But the main ideal is always the same, you know, the way we prepare the food.
Do most people have a place to grill? What do you call it? The
churrasqueira.
Churrasqueira. Do they have those in their home?
I do.
You do? Yeah. You mean you don't get enough at work?
Yeah, I eat meat every day at work. On my day off, I still grill at home. I really like it.
Okay, you're a tall, thin person, and you eat meat every single day.
Every day, yeah. So I think I need to, well, I don't know if it has to do with the food or how much we exercise or genetics could be, I don't know. But really, if you really look our, the way we grill, there is almost no deep frying, you know. We only fry polenta and bananas, and then we have rice and beans, of course. And traditionally at the south of Brazil, we eat really, really heavy. We eat a lot of potatoes, yuca, a lot of meat, rice and beans every day. And sometimes, if we are still hungry, a little bit salad.
Save salad for last. So you've lived outside of Brazil for more than 20 years, yeah? And your brother is also in this business?
Yeah, my brother, when I was about 3 years already in U.S., had the opportunity to come to U.S., and then he's been here for about 18, he's about 15 years right now. So he runs our location in Chicago.
So I'm thinking of your grandmother and grandfather. What would it be like for them to step into the kitchen here where you have those beautiful rotisserie grills?
Yeah, probably grandfather and grandmother, they used to do a hole in the ground and then cook it. Because by far then, I don't think very few people had grill at the south of Brazil. Now my dad has, everybody has, but back, I remember when I was very young, I went to my cousin's wedding when I was maybe 6-7 years old, and it was about maybe 60-70 people. They made that big hole in the ground, and that is where the barbecue was cooked.
Wow, so they just put a bunch of hot coals in the ground and then put the meat on top of it?
They really put wood, burn the wood, and then when it becomes like coal, charcoal, then put the meat on the top of it.
And everybody stands around and waits?
Stands around for half an hour, until everything's just done.
I wonder at 6 or 7 years old if you thought, I'm going to grow up and do this.
Yeah, and then things changed, it became sophisticated, and now we are here. But the same concept still.
Meat, heat,
yeah.
Rock salt.
Yeah, there we go, you learn it.
Customers are circling the salad bar as I sit down with two of my colleagues to sample some of the sides, purely for comparison's sake. OST producer Leighton Rall has spent a lot of time in Brazil, and it shows.
When I lived in Brazil, I would go to friends' houses in Rio Grande do Sul, the Gaúcho country, and their mothers would always prepare, of course, well, their fathers would do the churrasco, the actual meat, but their mothers would make the sides. They would make the salad, they would make the mayonnaise, the potato salad. And something about the mayonnaise name was so strange to me as an American, because it's just a sauce here. But Brazilian women often, like I would say Southern women, make their own mayonnaise for that salad. So it's not a super processed condiment or anything like that. It is homemade, just like churrasco.
And we quickly realize that even the tiny helpings may be too much. We try the potato salad, mayonnaise, the hearts of palm, the beets, and the tabbouleh, all nods to Brazil's varied population. It is, like America, a nation of immigrants and a country with an economy built on the backs of African slaves, all contributing to its mix of food and culture. The servers are all men.
Delicious fried banana. We also have a homemade mashed potatoes. And we also have a fried polenta.
Nelser did mention that most gaúcha grillers or churrasqueros are all men. And that may be one more point where Southern and Brazilian barbecue part company. Along with traditional Brazilian sauces like chimichurri and mint sauce are some nods to American preferences. There's smoked salmon in the salad bar, and grilled shrimp is now on the menu, as is chicken wrapped in bacon. But there's also something no one would dare pair with pulled pork in the U.S. of A. Pão de queijo, or cheese bread.
The bread is great. Service is awesome. You know, here to have a good time.
That's Tefatu Chan. She was celebrating her graduation from Lakeside High School with her family.
How do you not just keep eating and eating and eating and eating and eating?
Well, the thing is, don't eat before you come here. Don't drink anything until last. If you drink something, you'll get full. And that's not the point here.
The point is to fill up.
Yes.
That is one question that may unite barbecue lovers across the globe. You can see photographs from our visit to Chama Gaúcha in the Buckhead neighborhood of Atlanta at gpbnews.org. And we would love to come and visit your community and sample some of your favorite barbecue. So let us know, what is your favorite barbecue hang? You can call us at 404-500-9457. We're on Twitter and on Facebook at OST Talk. Our show is produced by Fenley Foxen, LaRaven Taylor, Leighton Rowell, and Summer Evans. Sean Powers is our senior producer. Susan Davis is executive producer. Our engineer is Tyler Morris. I'm Virginia Prescott. On Second Thought is a production of Georgia Public Broadcasting. May you fill all the pits in your life with barbecue. Ave Cruz, Vege Crispy.